Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, mad cow, line dance on.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. QT and Sangai with you like normal. Real fast before we jump into things tonight, if you're looking for some pro wrestling, WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, like usual. IWA Mid-South has the Ted Petty Invitational. FGW in Hamilton, Ohio. SPWA in Pocahontas, Tennessee. SWF in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Tomorrow night, if you're looking for wrestling, old wrestling happening in Muncie, Indiana. Lucha Libre Portland in Portland, Oregon. DCW in Marydale, Delaware, featuring Casey Carlisle. Mad Hatter Wrestling in Monticello, Indiana. LPW in Mitchell, Indiana. And SWS having a free show at the fairgrounds in Lexington, Tennessee. That one going to be headlined by Jerry Lawler and the hometown guy, Dangerous Doug Gilbert. So get out there, find yourself some pro wrestling this week, support it. And right now, we want to welcome you to our tribute to Dutch Savage. Dutch Savage, of course, a legend here in the Pacific Northwest. He is best known for many things, but among them, he was a staple of Portland wrestling, held all of the championships here in Portland. He was a noted tag team champion alongside Jimmy Superfly Snuka. He was the inventor and the master of the coal miner's glove match. When he retired from in-ring competition, he was very well known as an announcer and announced alongside both Frank Bonema and Don Koss later on. Also did the announcing for Championship Wrestling USA during the 90s. He also promoted wrestling and later went on to ministry and was a minister for many, many years. And right now to help us talk about that, I believe we got someone that knew Dutch Savage fairly well on the line. We have the caller from the 971.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Doing very well. Cowboy Tex Thompson, thank you for being here. I know that you knew Dutch Savage going back to the late 70s when Dutch was still going very strong in the ring. Can you tell us a little bit about how you met Dutch and what the relationship was like?
Well, when I first met him, when I was working for Don Owens, you know, it was kind of like a hi and goodbye kind of thing. It wasn't, you know, like mutual thing. That didn't come on until like later on, when you started, you know, showing me, you know, a few things in the ring, you know, kind of like the old school, because he was like Mr. Wrestling of Portland, Oregon. God, you know, the man was great in his time. God, I could sit here all day and talk about this man.
A lot of the younger listeners may only remember Dutch from being an announcer on Portland Wrestling, or just even from listening to stories from people that did watch Dutch Savage. You knew Dutch as a wrestler first. I think maybe the bigger part of wrestling fans might underestimate how good he was because he didn't travel very much. But as someone that was out here and saw him, how good would you say Dutch Savage was in ring?
Oh, in ring, gosh, he's kind of like if people knew Lou Thesz and Killer Kowalski, I would probably put him up in that area with those two guys because that's all he did was, you know, it was all wrestling. It was none of this, you know, like they have today, you know, this choreographed, you know, crap and, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that. And Dutch was never like that. If he was actually put something in front of his face saying, hey, you're going to say this, he would probably just tell you to take it and use it for toilet paper. So if anything, this man was all about wrestling, like say right up there with Lou Thesz and Killer Kowalski, you know, even Gene Kaninsky. I mean, all the old school guys, you know, these guys were actual wrestlers.
Well said. I believe we have someone else that is pretty familiar with Dutch Savage. Do we have our caller from the 757 area code?
Yeah, this is Princess Victoria. How
Princess
are you guys
Victoria,
today?
Welcome back to the show. Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame member for 2019. Like Tex Thompson was saying, Dutch, very, very good in the ring. You knew Dutch going back for a number of years. Can you tell us how you first met Dutch and what the relationship was like between you and Dutch?
Well, the first time I saw Dutch, of course, I was a fan. And hey, Tex, how you doing, brother?
Hey, how you doing, baby doll? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. I'm going to try to get up to Portland here pretty soon. I'm sitting outside on the back porch on a beautiful sunny day in Pasco. But anyway, back to Dutch Savage. Y'all know I was trained by Sandy Barr, and when it was time to get into the technical wrestling, that's when Sandy brought in Dutch Savage to help us on with our training. Like I said, the first time I saw Dutch, I was a fan. And you're absolutely right, Tex. He wasn't into all this high-flying, you know, bumpity-bumpity-bumpity crap like they do today. He was an outright wrestler. As far as a person, Dutch, once I got in the business, Dutch was one of the nicest guys you could meet. I remember one night in particular, I was in Eugene, and I had broken my collarbone about 3 weeks previous, and Dutch was worried about me going in to wrestle, and he kept saying, you don't need to do this, and I kept saying, yeah, I do. So he proceeded to go find the longest ace bandage I have ever seen in my life, and he wrapped both my shoulders with that ace bandage and pulled my shoulders back to where I couldn't hurt myself with that broken collarbone in the ring. But he argued with me for a good 20 minutes about me going in that ring, and I guess I was just a little more hard-headed than he was.
When haven't you been?
Yeah, well, you know, when the doctor drops you on your head first thing, you got to get some padding on that head.
There you go.
But no, Dutch was a very nice guy, but he was all about wrestling.
I mentioned at the start that Dutch not only wrestled, but he was an announcer for many, many years. He was a promoter. He did quite a bit in wrestling. For the fans that are here in Portland, the legacy might be something that Tex is very familiar with, the inventor of the coal miner's glove match. Portland wrestling fans especially loved the coal miner's glove match, even though coal miners aren't necessarily associated with the Pacific Northwest. It became Dutch's calling card. Tex, you've been in a few yourself, and I know it would not be possible if Dutch hadn't laid that foundation. What's your memories of some of these coal miner glove matches that Dutch used to have?
Oh, geez. Well, I know I forgot what the wrestler it was that he was going up against. But I know it was kind of physical, but in, I believe on in TV, when he first brought it out, that was when Buddy Rose and Lonnie Main had their feud, and that's when he introduced it to Lonnie Main, and that's when they, that's where it carried on from there. If I believe right, I believe it was one of the Kangaroo brothers that he had the feud with. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Princess. It's been a while.
I believe it was Jonathan Boyd that he had the feud with, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe, because he was one of the Kangaroo brothers. I knew it was one of the Kangaroos. I think it was Jonathan Boyd.
I believe I recall that feud. That lasted a while.
Yeah, that
and
was
then,
pretty nasty, too.
Pretty bloody, as I recall. Pretty bloody. I hadn't started working yet. I was still a fan when that happened, when Kangaroos were up here. But I remember Dutch's face, and I remember both Dutch and Jonathan were just, their faces were nothing but red blood. Those were vicious matches, those Coal Miner Glove matches.
Yeah, it was. And take it and to tell you something, guy, this was hard going. It wasn't like you see nowadays. This was when you got hit with it and you got bloody, that's what happened.
Definitely. That's, I think, where the reputation that Portland got is sort of a bloody territory came from, was a lot of those Coal Miner Glove matches, because they were pretty much guaranteed to have blood involved.
Well, especially when you did it the hard way, because that's what it was, you know, back then. You know, it's not like what you see these fools, you know, in different promotions doing their own thing, you know, because I'm the same way. I don't do it. If I get busted open the hard way, it happens.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree with Tex. The way they do it today, they don't have a clue. And
no, they
very
don't.
Dangerous. It's very dangerous, too. You know, when I don't agree with a lot of what they do today. And if Dutch was alive, Lord have mercy on their souls.
I agree with that, wholeheartedly.
Like you said, Tex, Dutch would show them how to get it the hard way.
Yep.
But no, and like you said, Dutch did. Dutch was an all around type of guy. Like you said, he did promoting, he did announcing, he did ringside, he wrestled, he managed. I don't think there's a thing in wrestling that Dutch didn't do.
He's friends with some of the guys before they went out to the match.
Say that again. You broke up on me.
I was saying that when he went in the back dressing room, that he actually prayed for some of the guys, you know, before they went out to do their match.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He'd also chew your tail when you got back from that match, too, if it wasn't what he expected.
That's a fact.
I think he was praying you had a good match for your own sake.
Right. That's true.
Maybe not a lot of fans realize today, but Dutch was the promoter up here in Seattle for a number of years. He was the promoter of record, and he owned, I believe, a third of the Northwest Territory with Don Owens at some point when he bought in. I don't know if either of you work for Dutch Savage personally, but obviously, he had a big hand in drawing the fans to Seattle and running things at the Seattle Coliseum. Do you guys have much knowledge of Dutch the promoter, Tex?
Just just a little bit. If I actually worked with the guys, like I say, you know, the man's trained me a little bit in the ring, but Outside the ring work wise, I did a lot of the commercials for him when he was actually selling homes through J.L. Scott. And so I was doing a lot of commercials for him on that. That was the only time I actually really personally got to work with him. Got to know him a lot better, you know, during our ventures, because he would pick me up and I would grab a camera and off we go to, you know, check out a house, you know, film it, and he would do his bit in it, and we would put it on tape. Promoter-wise, there was like a couple times, because I know he did one promotion for Don here in Oregon, and I believe Princess was involved in this one, where she was actually the first female to be in an all-male battle royal. Dutch had a hand in that.
Yeah, I remember that battle royal like it was yesterday. Hitting that brick wall in Salem was a rude awakening. It was, in fact, we did several interviews, and you're right, Dutch had a big hand in that because Buddy Rose was totally against women being not only in a battle royal but in wrestling, period. And I guess that saw something in me because he's the one who said, she's in it.
Yeah, and I believe, if I was right, I think you were the last, I think there was like, what, 13, 14 guys in that, and you were the last four to be in it, and you had to be the one of the four?
I was actually one of the last two in it. It ended up being me and Buddy Rose in the end. And,
oh, that's right.
The guys have done a really good job of beating Buddy down for me. I thought I actually had a chance of winning until I hit that brick wall about 5 feet up in the air.
Yeah, that wasn't pretty.
No, but it was, that was part of the job. You know, you get into wrestling, you're going to get hurt. That's all there is to it. Back in that day, it wasn't like you said, it wasn't like it is today. Back in that day, it wasn't if you were going to get hurt, it was where and when.
Princess, did you ever work a lot with Dutch as a promoter up here in Seattle? Was he the person that would book you on shows?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when Velvet and I were working for Don, both Sandy, Elton, and Dutch booked both Velvet and I. And what's funny is my sister, Mary, was living in Seattle when I wrestled up there. And I didn't find her until 1998, and I was wrestling up there in 79 and 80.
Now, Tex, we talked about Dutch being an announcer some, and a lot of the fans today, if they're under a certain age, they're only going to remember Dutch as the announcer on Portland Wrestling, but he was someone that was able to talk fans into the building as an announcer with both Frank Bonema and Don Koss and some of the later partners he had when he was announcing for Championship Wrestling USA. As a promoter yourself, you understand how important an announcer can be when trying to get the fans into the building and pay for a ticket. When Don, or not Don, but when Dutch was done in the ring, do you think he was just as important as an announcer, or do you think that it was more the legacy of the wrestling that was what was really going to draw the fans for Dutch Savage?
Well, you know, as soon as Frank Bonema passed away, and of course, you know, that Stan the Man took it for a little bit, and then Dutch did, and then both of them did. And then it went to Don Koss, but I think, you know, the people back then when he was announcing for Portland Wrestling USA, they knew him, you know, as a, you know, old school wrestler. Even though half the time he would forget how it went because, you know, it was Portland Wrestling USA, but he would have it mixed up half the time when he would get on there. But I think it was, I don't know, it was kind of a little bit of both, but I think I'm looking towards more than when, you know, him being an old school wrestler. I think that's why people mainly came in.
For instance, Victoria, you have been on TV with Dutch doing the commentary. How important do you think Dutch made you seem to the fans that may not have been familiar when he was doing your matches?
Well, because of the way I was trained, I did a lot of technical wrestling. Of course, my temper got away with me sometimes, but with being an announcer and Dutch being a wrestler too, Dutch could call the moves as we were making them. You know, you could be a blind man sitting in front of the TV listening to this match, and you could picture it in your brain. And that's important, that, you know. And I'm sure that he did mix up the Pacific Northwest Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
That would be Dutch, you know. But he was with Don Owens for, what, 35, 40 years?
Yeah, at least then some, yeah.
Yeah. So he'd wrestled under you know, that title for all those years. I imagine it was hard to change. But, no, like I said, your announcer, if you've got somebody beside ringside that doesn't know wrestling and they're not saying that was a wicked flying mare or whatever, people get bored with people who cannot call those moves. And they're going to judge the wrestling by the announcer if they've never been to a match. That's the first thing that they're going to hear is that announcer. And if that announcer isn't doing things properly, that's one fan that you've lost to that match that night.
Well, and you said it best, though, too, Princess, is that, you know, if you don't know the moves like Dutch did, you know, and just like you said, you know, a blind man can want, you know, be listening to the TV and picturing it in his mind, because any move that you would make in that ring, he would call it. And that's what you need for an announcer, is that your announcer's got to know all these wrestling holds, because if you don't do it, if you don't know them, then you're right. You know, they're going to get bored, and it's like, okay, well, I might as well turn it to CIS or some damn thing, you know?
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Sorry about that. My dogs just went off. They saw
a
leaf blow across the yard. But, go ahead.
I was going to say that Dutch was around for a very long time in the Pacific Northwest. He first came in the mid-60s, I believe, and pretty much stayed around for the remainder of his career. He didn't travel outside of the Northwest very often. He'd go up into Vancouver for Al Tomko for a while and then come back down to Portland, but he didn't really travel a lot of the territory. When he was retired, he pretty much stayed in the Northwest and was a fixture for the rest of his days. A lot of times he would be at independent shows helping out with whatever incarnation of Portland wrestling was going at the time, and was always there. Tex, you were around a lot when Dutch wasn't necessarily the person in charge or a top star in the ring or anything like that, but I know he was helpful for a lot of people in the 90s and the early 2000s. How important do you think it was to the health of the Northwest wrestling scene to have a guy like Dutch Savage just being there and helping out where he could?
Well, you know, he was as the years gone by, you know, when I got to know, you know, Dutch more, you know, we became, you know, really good friends. And just to learn from that man on anything, you know, inside the ring, outside, you know, it's more or less the do's and don'ts inside and outside the ring. He would sit down with you and tell you, you know, more or less how it went. You know, you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way, don't do this, don't do that. If anything, I learned a lot from that man. You know, I've learned a lot from all these old school wrestlers, you know, even Princess, you know, I've, you know, listened to her and, you know, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, on her behalf, you know, she's probably done the same thing that the Dutch has told her, you know, what to do and not to do. And but anything, he was that man, you know, you can learn a lot from. Even if he was still alive today and can tell you some stuff, you know, what to do in the ring, what not to do, by God, I would have been listening to that man.
I agree with you, and that's another thing that's wrong with wrestling today is these younger people in wrestling, they don't listen to the old school people anymore, and that's with very few exceptions. I've seen way too many matches in the last 5 years that if Dutch Savage had been present in those matches, he'd have had steam coming out of both ears. And like I said, it's a shame that these kids that are wrestling today weren't brought into the business the way Tex was and the way I was. You know, one of the first things you learned in the business was when an old-timer talks, you shut your mouth and you open both ears.
Exactly.
Absolutely, and I try to make sure I always listen to the veterans because I know what they are usually going to say is pretty much on the dot and accurate.
Well, like I said, a lot of these kids today are what we used to call old school prima donnas. You know, it's all about them. It's all about their moves. It's all about, you know, I got to get this in and I got to get that in. And I got to do this and I got to. I.
Bunch of spot monkeys.
Right. Absolutely correct. And they're not bringing the fans into the story. You know, when you're bumping across that ring and going bump, 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 all the fans are seeing is bump, 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 bump. They're not seeing a story. They're not being brought into that match. You know, and it's really a shame that they're working that way today.
Now, Tex, at one point in time, Dutch Savage was a tag team partner with Jimmy Snuka. They held the Pacific Northwest tag team titles for a long time. A lot of fans remember that version of Dutch Savage as being their favorite. What can you tell us about the tag team Jimmy Snuka and Dutch Savage? It seems like a Pacific Northwest legendary tag team right there.
Oh, you couldn't get anybody, you know, better. You know, it was, you know, during that time you had, you know, Dutch Savage, Jimmy Snuka, you know, as a tag. You had Bo Ramos and you had Jesse Ventura. You know, they were, you know, tag team. But with Dutch and Jimmy, you know, especially back in 76, these guys were like non-stoppable. They're just kind of like a machine, man, well-oiled machine. They were doing stuff like they were together for, you know, 20 years, even at that time. You know, just to sit there and watch these guys back then, you know, as a tag team was, you know, they were phenomenal. Until this day, they're still phenomenal to me.
Totally agree with you, Tex. I was a fan during that period of time, and they must have tagged for quite a long time because I remember walking up to Jimmy Snuka, and that's when I got hooked on wrestling, was when Dutch and Snuka were tag teaming. And it was a combination they were like two halves of a whole brain.
Mm-hmm.
Dutch did a whole lot of the technical wrestling, and Jimmy did the high flying. You know, Dutch had beat him down, lay him down, and Jimmy had come up off the top rope, and he'd cover him for the pin.
Princess Victoria, you and Velvet McIntyre's team still get mentioned on national TV to this very day. So obviously you were a great team. Did Dutch help you out with the psychology of tag team wrestling?
Once Velvet and I started tag teaming, we didn't start tag teaming until we left the Pacific Northwest. That was after we both went to Moolah is when we became tag team. But we did a tour in Portland in, I believe, I want to say 82. And, yeah, Dutch would sit down with us in the dressing room, and he'd talk. And he'd say, you know, he'd just do the fine-tuning on it, you know. Part of it was cheering on your partner when your partner's getting beat down. You know, get the fans into it so your partner gets some energy and gets back up. It was just I can't even explain to you some of the things that Dutch told us. And once we sat down in the dressing room with him in 82 and we went back out on the road as partners, we were a very much a different pair because he had brought some of the old school back with us where the tag teaming was concerned.
Well, my co-host QT is standing by, and I think QT might have a few questions for you as well about Dutch Savage. So, QT, go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Tex. Hello, Princess Victoria.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Before we begin, Tex, it was good to see you last Sunday at Blue Collar Wrestling. I hadn't been down there for quite some time, and it was good to come back to the building.
Well, it was good to see you. It has been a while. You need to start coming down more often.
Well, you know how it is. The job, there's no shortage of work, especially these days. And, you know, I'm gearing up and getting all the hours I can because I just, you know, had a birthday, 59, so... Got to get all the hours in because you never know if these congressional people are going to kind of cut the Social Security benefits in about 5 or 4 years.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. But anyway, I was listening to Sangai and his Jimmy Snuka Dutch Savage tag team, how they did their. But they held the NWA Pacific Northwest Tag Team Championships 6 times, Jimmy Snuka and Dutch Savage. And
now,
I found out. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, that sounds about right because they were actually, I think, them and I think their tag team. Tell them about the same amount of time. Of course, with me and Lone Star, we only held them 5 times, so we're like right behind those two.
Wow! It was also good to see Lone Star in action Sunday. But he captured the Pacific Northwest tag team with Jimmy Snuka 6 times, but he also captured the title twice with Moondog Man. Once with Stevie Little Bear, once with Jonathan Boyd, and once, and this I found particularly interesting, he won the championship with a wrestler named Beauregard. Now, Beauregard was quite the character in the Northwest because he often came to the sports arena in bell-bottom pants, and he sometimes wore a psychedelic headband, and he actually cut a rock and roll record. I was going to ask Princess Victoria if she ever met Beauregard.
I don't remember Beauregard. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Dutch, do you remember Beauregard, who wore sometimes these psychedelic bell-bottom pants?
Oh, yeah. He had the psychedelic. He had the headband. He actually rode in on a motorcycle. And a matter of fact, Patty's got the album of Beauregard's singing.
Yes. One of our co-founders, J.D. Volks, who started this show with myself, he had a Beauregard album. And vinyl is making a comeback, so those things might be collector's items. Yes.
Oh yeah.
But I was, I also, in my research on Dutch Savage, found out that he was a very good salmon fisher. He was into salmon fishing. I was going to ask you, Tex, if you had ever had a chance to fish with him on the Cowlitz River, salmon fishing.
Well, I did at one time, but during that time, something came up. But, yeah, I did have a chance to go with him. Yeah, he always fished there at the Columbia when he had a chance, or if anything, he was over at Woodland that he would go to.
Oh, okay. Oh, Woodland. Well, Princess Victoria, I found out that Dutch started his wrestling career in Georgia under the name Lonnie Brown in 1962. Did he ever tell you stories about his wrestling days in Georgia?
No, he didn't. In fact, I was only about a year old when he started wrestling. But he'd tell us stories about being on the road with the boys up here, but I don't remember even ever knowing that he started out in Georgia. I'd naturally assume that he was in the Pacific Northwest, and that's where he started. So you just taught me something.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad to have thrown that kernel of wisdom at you. Yes. Okay. Well, Tex, did he ever tell you his days in Georgia in 1962 under Lonnie Brown, the moniker?
Well, through his, when we talked about things, yeah, he actually would tell. Well, this is what I liked about old school guys is they would kind of tell their story about things, you know, over on the road, you know, and I've been on the road a few times with them. And, yeah, he actually mentioned that just briefly, but he mentioned it.
Okay. Now, Princess Victoria, it is true that he was born quite a few years before. In fact, all of us were born. Well, he was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania, right around 1935. And I saw an interview where he was that he gave – where he can remember the tail end of the Depression, and his family wasn't very rich or well-to-do. His father was a coal miner, and he had a third-grade education, and things were pretty rough there for a little bit. After the coal mines in Scranton closed down, he and his family moved to Delaware. And so he grew up in that kind of upper mid-Atlantic area, and he was a fantastic athlete in high school. He was a pitcher on his baseball team, and he played football, baseball, and basketball. Well, he did for his high school, and he later played football, baseball, and basketball in the Air Force because he enlisted in the Air Force. I was wondering, Tex, if he told you any of his days in the Air Force, because you yourself were enlisted in the Army.
I think that's why we had a good connection with each other, both of us being in the military. As I say, some of these things about him, he would briefly come up with, and, he would kind of, say what he had to say and just kind of let it go and then go on to something else. I think that's more or less why me and him got along so well and became, good friends was, that we were both, in the military at the time.
Very good. Okay. Well, in the 10th grade, he met a lifelong buddy when he was going to high school. this lifelong buddy was in a rival high school, and Dutch's team would usually beat this rival high school real good in football and basketball. But this kid didn't seem to mind, and he came over one day and introduced himself to Dutch Savage, and they became lifelong friends. This kid threw the shot put in high school, and Dutch Savage threw the discus in high school. And after they graduated from high school, they were discussing their plans, and Dutch said, well, what are your plans? And his friend said, I'm going to go into the Marines. And Dutch said, boy, you don't want to go into the Marines. They shoot at you. I'm going into the Air Force. And so Dutch went on to do 4 years. Now, I read where he was a drill instructor, but then Dutch, I thought that he just played football, baseball, and basketball. In this interview with Dutch, he mentioned that, so I don't know how much of a drill instructor he was. I'll have to do some more research. But Princess Victoria, there's one standout moment that I thought was kind of humorous about Dutch I'd like to tell you about. He was in a match with Killer Carl Krupp in Portland, and somehow they ended up outside the building, and Dutch said, said to Carl, I'm going to throw you in this mud puddle. Apparently it had been raining and it might have been fall or winter. And Killer Carl Krupp said, hey, I'm not going to go into that mud puddle. I'm going to get mud on my tights, and I don't want to get them dirty. But Dutch went ahead and threw him in the mud puddle, and Carl Krupp emerged from that mud puddle with mud up his nose and his ears, and his tights were all muddy. And he chased Dutch Savage back into the building, and he was so mad he almost ripped the door off the hinges.
I think I'd have been mad too.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I definitely would have been mad if somebody threw me into a mud puddle in the middle of a match. That, because then you got to go back in the ring with, you know, mud in every crack and crevice, and you got to finish your job. I can imagine he was quite upset.
That's not including, you know, some of the other guys after their match was going to get dirty too.
Right. Yeah, because they didn't clean. They didn't go up there and wash down the mat like they do in between matches these days. Whatever happened is before you wrestled on top of whatever happened before.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, now I mentioned that he had captured the NWA Pacific Northwest Tag Team Champs with Beauregard. Princess Victoria, he also captured one title, the tag team title, with Stan Stasiak. Do you have any memories of Stan Stasiak and Dutch Savage hanging around together at a match?
I don't remember them at the matches together, but I do remember Stan Stasiak very well. I did some we traveled together on the road a lot when I was wrestling in Portland. Stan was one heck of a gentleman. I do remember I was riding with Rick Oliver and a couple other people, and Stan was in the motorhome. Tex, you remember Rick's motorhome?
Oh yeah.
And I'm brand new in the business, and I'd already had a few ribs pulled on me, so I was a little on guard. And Rick and Stan kept telling me that Stan could call cows. And I looked at him, I said, y'all ain't getting me on this one. I said, I'm not believing it. Well, about 20 minutes down the road, we're driving, and on the left-hand side of the road across the ditch, there's this field full of cows. Rick pulls the motor home over. Stan gets out. He jumps the ditch. He's right up against the fence. And there's this big old bull with a bunch of other cows in the field. And Stan scrapes his foot just like a bull would, and he kind of hunched over and he went, mwah! Well, about the time he did that bull kind of looked up and started staring at Stan. Well, Stan did that a couple more times, and about the third or fourth time he did that, that blasted bull copped an attitude, and he came running straight at Stan. Well, Stan forgot that there was a ditch full of water behind it. And he went to step back, and when he stepped back, he went in that ditch, and as big as Stan Stasiak was, he disappeared under the water. And about 2 seconds later, he come up. He had mud and grass and cattails. You know, he's climbing up out of the ditch. He looked something that come out of looked like something that would have been a partner to Swamp Thing. And I about laughed myself silly. But that's my best story on Stan.
Wow. Now, for Princess Victoria, I know that you had to sort of prove yourself when you were getting into the business around the boys. Was there any time that you asked Stan Stasiak to give you a heart punch?
No. A very firm no.
Oh.
Only a fool would ask for a heart punch from Stan Stasiak. And
no,
Mama Ray
may
have raised a dummy, but she didn't raise no fool.
Oh, okay. Yes, I was going to say no one in the right mind, because he brought Andre the Giant to his knees with a heart punch. Yes.
I remember that.
Yep.
Yes.
I remember that. And Stan was a big man, and he had big hands. That was not something that you would want to have happen.
Well, now Dutch Savage went right around, I think it was 6'4 to 240. Stan was about that, maybe a little bit shorter, maybe about 6'2, right?
No, Stan was 6'4.
Stan was, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Stan was every bit of 6'4.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Dutch actually was 6'2.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, that sounds more like it. I do believe you're absolutely correct, Tex.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy at this moment, but with a parting question, Princess Victoria, would there be any chance that I could talk you out of coming out of retirement and challenge me to a fruit pie on a pole match?
No. I'm too old to wrestle now. I know my days are far gone. I'm not getting in a wrestling match with a mouse, much less anybody else.
Well, all right. Okay, no fruit pie on a pole match. I'll talk to Tommy Celsius about this. Okay.
All right.
Much better.
All right, back to you soon, guys.
Thank you, QT. Well, guys, we know that Dutch Savage was mainly known for his time here in the Pacific Northwest. We mentioned that he did work a few other places. He worked up in Vancouver for Al Tomko, Georgia, like QT said, where he started. He did a little bit in Kansas City, and he did a couple of years in the AWA, which most likely was the biggest territory where he wrestled as far as national attention and just sheer size of a territory. And just your own opinions, do you think that wrestling fans overall appreciate just how important Dutch Savage was since he didn't really travel outside of the Northwest? Or do you think that the fact that he didn't travel very much added to the legacy, Tex?
Well, he didn't travel much. He kind of stuck here in Portland. I mean, there's a couple times he's went to Canada. The thing is that even when he first started until he got into Portland, all the way up until the time he passed, he was the biggest thing running. You couldn't ask for, a better person. You know, like I say, you know, he was Mr. Wrestling himself, and, you know, he just, I don't know, it's just, you know, it's kind of tough, you know, to try to remember all this stuff, you know, with Dutch, because I was there all the way until the end. So, but yeah, I think, you know, he made a big impact to some of the people back then. Today, I couldn't tell you. They probably look at you like, well, who's he? But back then, yeah, I think he was about the biggest thing.
Princess Victoria, you knew Dutch pretty well. What do you think? Do you think that the fact that he homesteaded more or less kind of hurt the legacy, or do you think it actually added to it?
Well, I haven't met anybody yet that I have mentioned the name Dutch Savage to that does not know who the man is. And that would not necessarily just be in the Pacific Northwest. That would be in, you know, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia. Although Dutch homesteaded up here, he was still very well known in the wrestling community. Mm. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think Portland wrestling would have been what it was without Dutch Savage.
Exactly.
You know, there's three main people in my brain, or actually four, that if we hadn't had in the Pacific Northwest, I don't think the Pacific Northwest would have lasted as long as it did. And that's Dutch Savage is number one. Sandy Barr, of course. Buddy Rose and Roddy Piper. I mean, they put those four people in my mind put the Pacific Northwest on the map.
Can I add one more, if you don't mind?
Yes, please.
That would have been Lonnie Main.
Oh, I agree. That man scared me to death when I was a kid. I was too scared. You know, I'd walk up to Jimmy Snuka or Stan Stasiak, Dutch Savage, and get an autograph, but I was scared to death of Lonnie Main.
Yeah, he just definitely had that look.
Yeah, he did. And it was an unforgettable look.
Yeah.
You know, he's right up there with, rubber bands in his beard. Lou Albino.
Ah, Lou, yeah. You know? Oh, Louie.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen Uncle Louie and Lonnie Main tag up. Now, that would have been.
that would have been barn burner there.
Oh, you ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. Mm-hmm. And I'd have been sitting in the back row instead of on the front row.
Yeah, I probably would have been in the back there with you.
Right? Hiding behind the chair.
Yep.
But, no, you're right. If Lonnie Main is right up there with those four. So let's say there's five, that it wouldn't have been the same.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that for sure. Looking at Dutch's really long career, which spanned roughly about 15 years in the ring, and then for the rest of his life doing things outside of the ring and wrestling, with all the people that Dutch had wrestled and announced with and sort of partnered up behind the scenes, if you had to pick one person that you think most closely associated with Dutch Savage, who's the one name that springs to mind, Tex?
As in wrestling against them or with them, or what are we mainly asking?
Just in general in the wrestling industry, be it someone he wrestled, someone he announced with, someone that he was promoters with. Just who do you think most associates with Dutch Savage?
Oh, God, if anything, the only two people that would come to mind would be either Don Owens or Sandy Barr.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Tex. And it was funny, too, because although Sandy and Dutch worked together almost every day that I remember even being around wrestling. Those two, they would get into some damn arguments, and they'd be butting heads.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, you remember then, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
If you went to walking up to the dressing room and you heard Dutch and Sandy going at it, you just went out the back door, let them have at it. But 10 minutes later, they'd figured it out. They'd come to a common ground. And because the two of them, like I said, were polar opposites, they actually made each other better.
Even though they did sound like a married couple.
Oh, my God, yes. I wasn't going to say that, but, yeah, that's pretty much what they sounded like.
Yep.
They've been married for 30 years by the time I met them, probably.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, we're just about out of time on the show. I want to thank both of you very much for taking time out of your day to be with us and tell some Dutch Savage stories. Tex, anything you want to say to the listeners, plug, promote, anything you want?
Yeah, just, the one thing about it is, I got, holler out to my girl, Princess, it's been a while. I need to, when you head over here, just let me know. But other than that, just make sure you're here every Sunday, man, for BCW here in Northport and Eagles. It's been kind of a barn burner. We've been getting a full house every week now. So just bring yourself on out and watch a live show.
I sure will, Tex. And whether you know it or not, I've been watching what's going on Facebook. I've seen some of the people you've been having. You've been having some really good matches, from what I hear. And next time I'm in Portland, I will definitely drop by.
I appreciate it, girl. If you can, if anything, I need to get your number. So.
All right. You got my number, don't you?
I believe it is. It's still the same one?
Yes, I've had the same number for 25 years now.
Okay, well, I've still got it then.
And if you don't have it, Patty's got it, right?
I believe so.
I know I gave it to her, so it should be under in there, and I think she's got it under Vicky.
Okay, well, I got it on my phone, so my other phone. I got a new phone now, so I'll probably have to go through there and get it. But, yeah, if you're still the same number, then I'll give you a buzz.
All right, well, and if I don't hear from you in a couple weeks, I'll do you get on the BCW Facebook page at all?
Once in a while. Well, my wife does, but just get on there and I'll find out.
Yeah, I'll send you a private message on there. I don't really want to air my personal phone number.
Right. No, that's okay, babe.
All right. It's good hearing you, Tex. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, you too, baby doll.
All right, darling.
All right, well, fans, if you've not gotten familiar with Dutch Savage, definitely look up some Dutch Savage on YouTube and whatever other source you have. Dutch Savage, an absolute legend in Pacific Northwest wrestling, laid the foundation for what the people that are performing now have. Dutch Savage, very, very, very important as far as Pacific Northwest wrestling, for sure. So get out there, check out some of his matches, some of his interviews. There's a lot of shows where he did commentary. I think you can learn a lot of different things, a lot of different roles in wrestling by watching Dutch Savage. So definitely do your homework. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have young referee Joshua Gatton with us on Sunday. I think you're going to enjoy him. So get out there, find yourself some local independent wrestling, support it, and we'll be back with you soon.